and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Good afternoon. This is Don Nolan. I'm sitting in for Steve this afternoon. Steve is off traveling out of the country. We'll welcome him back in about 3 weeks. This afternoon, we're very privileged to have two guests from the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, which is an organization we're going to get to know about this afternoon. Our guests are Zachariah Oshevik. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Zachariah is the president of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, and Taner Ozel. Did I say that correctly? Ozel?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? He is a member. He's a graduate student at the University of Illinois. Thank you very much for joining us. Glad you could be here. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is the Intercultural Friendship Foundation and a little bit about its mission objectives, and then we'll get to know a little bit about you. What is IFF?
Well, first of all, I would like to welcome all the listeners, and we're quite happy to be the guests here on the show. Well, to start off with the IFF, I can say that IFF, which is the acronym for Intercultural Friendship Foundation, was founded in 2001 as a student association at the University of Illinois here at Urbana-Champaign. Well, if we are to talk about our vision, we could say that now with the globalization, the world has become a very small place where everybody can, you know about each other quite perfectly well. And it's impossible to live without experiencing diversity all around the world, we could say. And what we're trying to do as IFF is actually trying to serve the societal peace by peace and friendship at the University of Illinois here and within the Champaign-Urbana community by, you know, trying to spread the values such as cross-cultural understanding, tolerance, respect, dialogue, and mutual understanding, I would say. And in order to reach these aims, we actually work in collaboration with the local cultural, religious, as well as civic organizations to actually foster excellence in public service by acknowledging the importance of spreading these most significant common values within Champaign-Urbana community. And we hope that everybody, you know, takes their responsibility seriously to do their part to build peace in our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that introduction. We're going to get to know more about your programs and your mission and purposes in just a minute. Just so that everyone knows, this is a call-in show. And if you would like to call in a question or make a comment to one of our guests, you can call 333-9455 locally. You may also call an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. Well, before we get much further into talking about Intercultural Friendship Foundation's work in the community, tell us a little bit about yourself. Zachariah, you're at the university. What is your capacity there? What are you doing?
Well, I actually came here last year. This is my second year here at the U of I. I study at the Department of Linguistics, and I'm a master's student in the program Teaching English as a Second Language. That's what I do at school.
What are you planning to do with your degree?
Well, after I finish the master's degree, I'm hoping to apply for a PhD program either in curriculum and instruction or educational policy studies, hopefully.
At the university or somewhere?
Here or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Where are you from in Turkey?
I'm from a small city called Afyonkarahisar, which is which literally translates into English as the Black Fortress of the Opium. It's funny that the government actually officially allows the farmers to grow opium for medical purposes. That's the only place within Turkey that, you know, that grows opium. That's why, you know, the name comes from there.
North or south of Izmir?
That's actually the east of Izmir, I would say. Yeah, it's like two and a half hours
on the coast
of Ankara. It's not a coastal city. It's like a little bit inside. So I would say it's like midwest of Turkey.
Ah, very good. And how long have you been here?
Well, actually, I've got my high school education in Afyon, and then I moved to Istanbul to have my college degree. I studied at a Turkish university called Bosphorus University, which used to be an American college, which actually the first American college that is established outside the U.S. So it was founded in 1860s by the Americans. And it still carries the values of the original name Robert College. So we have quite close relationships with the American universities back in Turkey. Mm. After I graduated from Bosphorus University in 2004, I actually got a job offer in Uzbekistan at an international school which is called Ulugbek International School. After that, I worked there for 4 years in ESL, as an ESL teacher. And after the fourth year, I decided to go back to academia to, you know, deepen my interest in teaching English as a second language.
And ESL means English as a second language.
Well, for those of the listeners that do not know what that means. And I came here in August 2008 and started the program.
Mm-hmm. And Tanner, you're also Turkish origin, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you from?
I'm from Siirt, even much smaller town in eastern part of Turkey. Mm-hmm. And I went to high school in Istanbul and to college in Ankara in Turkey. And then I moved here to Champaign County 6 years ago. And like I'm working on my PhD right now.
In
physics.
In physics. Mm-hmm. And your specialty, you said earlier, is... Nanotechnology?
Yeah, actually, you can say that I work in the field of nanotechnology and science.
Uh-huh, and you're about to get your doctorate.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, well, very good. How did you get to be president of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, Zakaria?
Well, I actually knew about the IFF when I was in Uzbekistan. There used to be my Uzbek friend, Aziz. He actually served as the president of IFF two times. And we used to know each other from Uzbekistan. He used to work for a Turkish language center back in Uzbekistan. And we used to be close friends. He actually started the program here at the UFI. And after he started the program, he actually suggested me that I actually, you know, apply the program and, you know, seek my master's degree here. I heard quite a lot about the IFF here and what IFF does within the Urbana-Champaign community. I was quite interested in the activities of the IFF. And when I came here last year, I was involved with the club and I became a member of the club and I tried to do my best to actually, you know, take my part in the organization and the application of all the programs. And, well, the members actually wanted me to be the president this year. I actually didn't want to be the president, but, you know, after they nominated me, then I said, why not?
You were there.
Then I'm here.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the mission and objectives of IFF. Why do you exist? You have become quite prominent and successful, I think, in the community. It's your dinners and your trips to Turkey and your... your writing contest have gotten some pretty good press. Whatever it is that you've been doing, you've been doing well.
Well, Tanner has been here for more than 6 years, so I would say he would be quite knowledgeable about the history of IFF, and he could tell us about the...
Initially we founded the club. I mean, when I was here, the club has already been founded, but it was the first years. So the idea was to present our Muslim and Turkish identity here right after the 9/11 attacks have occurred, unfortunate events. But by then, there used to be this huge imposing of these stereotypes about Muslims and Turkish people in that country. These were all quite unfortunate things happening, and we said that, okay, why not? Maybe, I mean, people don't know about us, and this is why, how these all stereotypes are coming from. And then we said we should tell about ourselves to people so that, I mean, they can judge us more fairly. Maybe they can know us better. Because, I mean, you know, people really don't like those people who really don't, if they don't know about them.
Mm-hmm. If they're just other and dangerous.
This is how it all started, but within these years, we also realized other things. I mean, it was our first goal was to introduce ourselves. But then we realized that we are also part of this community. So we should also serve this community. And we are not the only, outsiders in this community, or strangers, or minorities in this community. So then we turned out to be a club who has been gathering people from different cultural backgrounds, and have these people gather in events or even at homes sometimes, and we offered people to have chances to talk to those people that they typically do not get along with. Mm-hmm. So this is how it happened, and I think this was when we started to make a difference in this community.
So it's fair to say that it was spawned in the aftermath of 9/11.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was right. But then, mm-hmm. you know, we changed our roots a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Then we tried to not promote ourselves, not introduce ourselves, but we also tried to promote the dialogue between right. people from different cultural backgrounds. Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder to our listeners, this is a call-in show, and if you have a question or comment you'd like to present to our guests, Zachariah Oshevik and Tanner Ozell, who are here to talk with us about the work of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation at the University of Illinois. You can call in locally at 333-9455. You may also use an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. Well, you told us a little bit about the history of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation. I think a lot of folks seem to know about it primarily because of these dinners that you hold each year and the awards that you give. Would you say that's where you reach your largest outreach is, or how would you characterize it?
I would say so, actually. Well, annual Dialogue and Friendship Dinner is actually our premier event, I would say, and we actually try really hard to organize that event. We start to work on the organization of the event from the previous year, and the whole year we, you know, brainstorm the ideas and we think of the possible guest speakers, and we also try to find out people who actually serve the society and who actually try their best to build bridges of peace and, you know, do their part to increase the friendship and cross-cultural understanding. And we actually gather people together from all walks of life by means of these dinners. We don't make any discrimination whatsoever. Anybody who is interested in knowing about so-called the other is actually welcome to join us for those dinners. We actually invite all the administrators, faculty from the University of Illinois. We also contact the local religious organizations, and we invite people from those religious backgrounds, and we talk with the community leaders, and we invite them as well. And we try to emphasize and cherish the values such as mutual understanding, deep respect, love, and peace by means of these dinners, I would say.
You had one of my heroes from the University of Chicago, Martin Marty, Professor Martin Marty, a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
that was last year.
2 years? Last year.
That was last year.
Right. And then last year you honored Lee Malhato, who was a local Jewish administrator for the a local Jewish organization. And the usual host for this program, Steve Shoemaker, you honored, what, 2-3 years ago, as I remember. Is that right? Mm-hmm. At one of your dinners? You give these awards. What are these awards?
This award is actually called Intercultural Dialogue and Peace Award. We actually present this award to either individuals or organizations that have contributed their time, their energy, their leadership, and their dedication to the cause of intercultural dialogue, peace, community service, as well as cross-cultural understanding here in Champaign-Urbana community. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned before, we presented this award to Dr. Steve Shoemaker. He used to be the former executive director of University YMCA. Mm-hmm. And we presented this award to Raj Mohan Gandhi, who is the grandson of Gandhi. And
Great-grandson,
I guess. So, right. Yeah, I guess. And we presented this award to Limel Hado. She used to be the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation. Mm-hmm. And we also presented this award to
Dr. Irfan Ahmed, who is the head of the
outreach
community of the Simic Center.
Irfan Ahmed. Well, are you happy with the response from the leadership in the local religious community? I'm thinking in particular the Christian religious conservative community. Are you getting a good response? I know that the ministerial associations do send someone, but are you making contact with the larger community, or is it just how do you assess that?
Actually, I mean, we have been mostly in good relations with the Christian community itself too. We also organized similar events in Catholic Church, in First Presbyterian Church, in mm-hmm. the Mennonite Church, and also in the Temple of Universalist Unitarians.
You've done some work at CIMIC, Central Illinois Mosque, is that right? Have you had programs there? No?
Yes, we did actually.
I thought so. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, I'm just kind of concerned that in many cases, some of the stereotypes that you encounter and we encounter out there tend to be on the fringes in many organizations, churches, and other places that don't tend to be in the mainstream of dialogue here on the campus. And sometimes it feels like when you're doing interfaith dialogue, you're preaching to the choir. I'm just wondering if you feel like you've had some success in pushing it out further into the community, reaching those more marginal audiences. Have you had that success, or have you been able to evaluate?
Well, I would say that we actually try to contact the local churches and, you know, synagogues and other religious communities, and we actually try to represent ourselves as a Muslim community that actually promotes interfaith and intercultural dialogue. We actually get quite good responses from some of those places, and some of those places tell that they're not quite interested in, you know, being involved with these, you know, intercultural, interfaith events, and we say that's fine. So we try to do our best to actually get to know the others and get ourselves known by the others. So,
well, there's certainly lots of camaraderie, good morale with these dinners that you offer. A lot of people talk about them as very positive experiences. What about the trips to Turkey? What are these trips that you sponsor each year?
Well, to talk about the intercultural trips to Turkey, we do have a sister organization in Chicago, which is called Niagara Foundation. Niagara Foundation is actually helping us a lot in actually organizing these cultural trips, and then they contact some organizations that actually try and support these trips financially. With the joint efforts of Niagara Foundation and IFF, we organize these intercultural trips to Turkey. And the main objective of these trips is actually to let the participants see the cultural heritage of Turkey, because we believe that Turkey is one of those places where there are lots of people who actually carry different religious cultural backgrounds, because we used to be the center of Ottoman Empire, and Ottoman Empire was actually on three continents in the past. So we actually want the participants...
And also Asia Minor of the New Testament.
Oh, yeah. And I would say that the participants of those cultural trips are quite shocked to see Turkey, because they do have all those stereotypes about the Muslim people and about the Turkish people and about the Turkey as a country. And they really don't know much about Turkey. They know that Turkey is a country in the Middle East, but they really don't know the people back in Turkey and the cultural heritage that we have back in Turkey. So it's great to see the positive reactions from the participants after those trips.
Actually, I mean, from my own perspective, the most successful part of these trips are when the guests, they visit Turkish people
in their homes,
mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, they actually interact with people. I mean, they are not located in hotels or in like tourist attraction centers, such places. So from the testimonials that we usually get, I have the impression that people are amazed when they were invited by those people from another country, when they interact with them. So that way they have a broader picture of the life in a Muslim country.
Yeah, the hospitality is just remarkable, and I've heard people say that they've felt more at home, more hospitality in Turkey than in, say, New York City or San Francisco, where you might visit other people's homes. But
I would say it would be relevant here to point out that these cultural trips are not actually organized to promote the Turkish culture or Turkey as a country, but to let the participants see a community which is quite different than their own, and to actually cherish all those differences they will be experiencing, and they will be able to see all those similarities that actually they share together. And as Tanner said, we actually want to expose our participants to get to know the local culture quite well by sharing the same dining table with the local people back in Turkey. And if I could just read one of the testimonials that one of our participants wrote for the July 2008 trip. So this is a testimonial written by Abbas Amin Mansur, and it can be found at our website as well. He says, "It really takes 10 days to describe our 10-day fun-filled visit to Turkey because you don't want to leave anything out. Memories of visiting the beautiful cities and majestic historic places will remain in our minds forever. But perhaps most impressive was our experience with the Turkish people. Their care, kindness, and exemplary hospitality is simply extraordinary. We will never forget how we were not only allowed to join a wedding in progress, but treated better than family. Turkish people in general and our wonderful Turkish companions in particular did an excellent job of communicating their love and respect for people of other cultures, religions, and nationalities with open arms. We can never thank all those who made this visit possible enough. With dedicated, visionary, and sincere people like that, Turkey can only move in one direction, to become an even more magnificent and progressive country. And yes, the food was spectacular too." Mm-hmm. So everybody is amazed at how tasty the Mediterranean food mm-hmm. in Turkey. So,
well, where do you typically take the, what is the tour? Is there a standard tour, or do you have variations each time you go?
We don't have a fixed itinerary for these Turkish Turkey trips. It actually depends on the participants. Hmm. Well, if you take the professors or faculty from the university, we actually try to expose them more with the educators back in Turkey. And if you take businessmen from here, then we, you know, have contacts with the businessmen back in Turkey, and they tell more about how the business world runs back in Turkey. So it is up to the participants, but mainly we take them to Istanbul. They spend a couple of days in Istanbul. They go to the capital city, Ankara. They actually go to Izmir. So these three cities are the biggest and most populated cities in Turkey.
Each trip you do those three.
Yes. And we do take them to Cappadocia in central Anatolia in Turkey. We do also take them to Konya. It's the city actually where Rumi, the famous poet in the 13th century, lived and died. So we actually negotiate with the participants and we come up with an itinerary with that.
We have a caller on line one. Hello, yeah. You're on Keeping the Faith. Question or comment?
Comment, please. I must say I would side with your guest with regard to who Professor Rajmohan Gandhi is. He, in fact, is the grandson of Gandhi and not the great-grandson.
Very good. Thank you for the correction.
Okay.
Thank you. So do you try to have some homogeneity in the people that you invite? In the background, or you just take who applies and you try to fashion the trip around their particular interest?
Well, we actually try to advertise these cultural trips in our annual dialogue and friendship dinners. We actually have a very small presentation about the Turkey trip that one of the participants prepare. We don't have any preference whatsoever to which people we actually take to Turkey. Anybody interested in can contact us, and we try to, you know, if we can come up with a good list of people, and if our participants are approved by the Niagara Foundation of Chicago, then we, you know, talk about the details of the trips.
Or you send your list to the Niagara Foundation, and they review the list?
They do review the list and the itinerary of the cultural trip, mm-hmm. and then they approve the trip, and then we organize it later on.
I see. Now, you mentioned the food. Do folks eat mostly with local families, or is it in restaurants, or what's it like on this trip?
Actually, both, I guess.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, they're also traveling most of the time. So when they are traveling between cities, they usually eat at local diners mm-hmm. and places like this. But I mean, for sure, I mean, they visit at least a few homes in Turkey. So they also taste the family kind of food in Turkey, not necessarily diner.
They don't stay with families, or they do stay with families?
So, I mean, they do not stay with families.
So they stay in the hotels.
They visit the families, but they do not stay with the families.
I see.
They do get to spend quite a lot of time with the families, because we normally try to have the dinners at the local families, because mm-hmm. the dinner is like the main dish, I mean, main time where the people come together in family in Turkey. So we do take them to the local families for the dinners, and we do get to spend at least 2 or 3 hours with those local families and talk about the, you know, the culture and the family in Turkey, and they try to get to know each other better and ask questions to each other and try to answer the questions that come from each other.
Now, if you have considerable interest in a given year, do you try to expand, or do you have a limit on the number that you want to take, or what would you say to our listening audience if they're interested?
We actually mainly have the trips in summer. Well, it's actually up to the person who is in charge of organizing the trip, because we have volunteers from our club, and then we need to, you know, organize the volunteers' time first of all. Mm-hmm. And he actually set some dates for the trip, and then we negotiate with the people who are interested in participating, and we try to come up with a common date that would be suitable for all the participants. But mainly we have the trips in summers.
How do you advertise it? Is it open to the community, or do you ask local religious organizations for people who are interested, or if someone was interested, how would they find out about it?
I mean, we usually take recommendations from the past guests. I see. So they usually recommend people who may be interested. We also invite people who usually attend to our programs for that we know that they're interested. These intercultural mm-hmm. kind of things. So this is usually how it works. I mean, mostly on recommendation by ex-guests.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's just the cost is just primarily airfare for the guest, right?
Yeah, airfare is on the guest.
And the rest is covered through the Niagara Foundation, is that right?
Well, Niagara Foundation is actually having some ties with some other organizations located in Turkey. So we do have an organization back in Turkey, and that organization is actually trying to promote the relations between Turkey and the U.S. Mm-hmm. For that aim, they actually do their part to get the American people and, you know, expose them to Turkish culture to increase the relationships between the U.S. Mm-hmm. and Turkey.
Just to make sure that our audience, our listeners know, this is a call-in show, and if you have a question or comment for one of our guests, Mr. Zachariah Oshabik, who is the president of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, and Tanner Ojal, who is a member of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, talking about their programs and mission and purposes, you can call in at 333-9455. You can also call an 800 number, 1-800-222-9455. Well, do you have a feeling after 6 years of doing this that you have addressed some of the stereotypes and misconceptions and falsehoods that you encountered back in 2001, 2002? How's it going, do you think?
Actually, I mean, not necessarily within own efforts, but, I mean, within the United States, I mean, within these 6 years, I feel that, I mean, people has overcome most of the stereotypes, not necessarily due to our efforts in IFF, but also the communities, different community groups in United States, countrywide, they are helping to overcome the stereotypes. Also, in Champaign County, we had the chance to meet with lots of people, and at least I hope that we made a good representation of our cultural background. And I am very glad to meet with many people from different backgrounds. I had the chance and privilege to know them, to know more about them. Also, by at the same time, we also introduced ourselves, and we made good friendships with people from different communities. I think from that point of view, that was a success.
Well, there have been some rocky times since 2001. I'm thinking in particular when the Iraq invasion was at its height, and there were a lot of tensions between the Muslim community and Jewish and Christian community across the country. How would you assess your success so far in reaching out to particularly the Jewish community? Do you have many people from Sinai Temple visiting others, or do you know? I know Lee Melhato, you just recently gave an award to.
Well, actually, I recently received an email from Rabbi Mark Klein, who is the rabbi at the Sinai Temple. He actually showed his interest in one of those cultural trips, mm-hmm. and he asked me if it's possible to organize a group from the temple mm-hmm. and to have one of these intercultural trips to Turkey. Mm. So we do actually have events with the Jewish people as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, we also organized panels within the last maybe 4 years. These are called, like, interfaith panel discussion groups.
Right.
So
on themes and topics.
On themes and topics.
I was involved in one of them.
And, I mean, as you may know, I mean, there are people from both Jewish and Christian traditions, and in some of these from Hindu and Buddhist traditions, people come and discuss about different aspects of their faiths. So, I mean, since you mentioned, I mean, both Christian and Jewish communities were also attending to these panel discussions, and mm-hmm. I believe these were great opportunities for many people like me to get to know about other people. And also, people were discussing about similarities that we may or may not know about them. Also, the differences so that we can also have a better understanding of our own tradition and religion. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't... some people should put differences in front of you so that sometimes this helps you to understand more about your religion and your culture.
Right. Back in 2001, what would you say were the most unfortunate stereotypes that people had about Turkey? What have you encountered that you feel like has been changed?
Well, I've had the chance to come visit the U.S. previously during the summers, and I used to work for this summer program. And when I was talking with my friend, with my American friends, they used to think that Turkey is one of those Arabic countries where it's founded on a, you know, desert, and where, you know, people ride camels and stuff like that. They didn't know much about Turkey, and we had, you know, the movies such as the Midnight Express, and people actually had their first impression about the Turkish people from such movies, and they were quite, you know, hesitant, you know, to get to know more about the Turkish people. And as they knew me and people like me better, and as they spent time with people from Turkey, I believe they had the sense that Turkish people are not to be scared or anything like that, and we're the same, you know, like them. So I think people are getting more knowledgeable about Turkey and Turkish people, and, you know, not only Turkey or Turkish people, but, you know, people from all around the world.
And Islam, what are the stereotypes that you feel like you've put a dent in about Islam in our local community?
I mean, back then, I mean, many people, maybe still, I mean, like many people had the impression that Islam is a very, I mean, Muslim people, let's say, not Islam, are very aggressive people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are possibly more aware of the stereotypes than we are, but this is usually not the case. I mean, Islam is a religion of peace, and you can't change these stereotypes suddenly for everyone. Because, I mean, the stereotypes are there, and everyone has some perspective of these, what they call other people. So what we try to do is to meet as many people as we can, to introduce ourselves to as many people as we can, so that we at least have discussions even like very informal conversations. It may be related to religion or not related to religion, but at least we talk to those people so that from my own experiences, as you spend more time with people, they start to overcome their own stereotypes, and you don't need to do much to change this yourself. I mean, people and stereotypes can be changed by only by people themselves. I mean, no outsiders. I mean, I can go and talk to lots of people, and I can say that, okay, Islam is a religion of peace. And then many people will not accept this suddenly, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they would like to spend more time with you. They would like to get to know you. They would like to have a broader understanding of what other people are doing. And within this perspective, you should, and this is what we are doing, you should get to know more people and talk to them. And that's the only way that I see. And so this is why we promote dialogue between people of different cultural backgrounds.
Seeing another human being one-on-one, shaking hands, they feel like you, talk like you, walk like you. It's that in and of itself is sufficient in many cases just to allay the fear that you're so totally different from me that I should worry about you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is basically what I was trying to say. And also, you can think of, I mean, if you look at our programs, the things that we are doing, we organize dinners so people get together. We have panel discussions. People start to discuss about their own religions. And we are trying to have students, both high school and college students, to write on intercultural issues, interfaith issues, on stereotypes, so that they start to think about it. And then we encourage people to travel to countries like a Muslim country or country with another their cultural background, so that they go and see how people in those different countries they used to think are really living, what these people are like. So this is what we are trying to do.
We haven't talked about your writing contest. Just mentioned. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
I think that would be quite relevant here. As Tenor said, last year's topic was actually the definition of self and the other. So we wanted the participants to actually define how they define self and the other and how they could, you know, get rid of the stereotypes about the other. And one of the topics for last year's writing context was also to experience one of the religious practices or traditions that is other than yours. You know, go observe how people, you know, practice their religion and write about your impressions. And we actually tried to expose our participants to see the practices and to actually reflect on their own practices and the religion. And this year's topic is actually self-criticism and self-reflection. We want the participants to reflect on their self and to be self-critical, because we think that most of the times people think what they know is the only truth. You can't claim that what you know is true, but you can't just, you know, claim that whatever other people think is not correct. So, so it's important to be self-critical and to be reflective, and we try to stress the importance of the being self-critical and self-reflective. And we have this writing contest for all the University of Illinois students. The deadline for the entries is November 2nd, 2009. So anybody who is interested in writing about this issue can submit their entries. And I would say that would be quite relevant here to actually give our website address.
Right.
We've been working on our new website, and we have finally finished the new website. I would like to give it out for the listeners so that if they want to learn more about the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, what we actually do, they can go visit the website. It's www.iffillinois.org. So if they go click on the link, they can find more about us and more about our activities, and they can actually join some of them.
Are there guidelines for the writing contest?
There is actually on the front page. They can find an information sheet about the writing contest and all the details about the topic and the
deadline. And what are the awards?
The awards, yeah, that's a good question. Well, we do have, for the first place, we actually have a $300 check, plus a cultural trip to Turkey. So that would be quite interesting to actually take them to.
All expenses?
They
paid?
Well,
or they pay
they
like
pay
the others,
they pay like
for their
the international flights,
but
and
all lodging and food is covered.
All the lodging, food, all the entries to the museums and
just
everything,
like
everything within Turkey
just
is
like for
provided.
Your other guests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we take the second place to cultural trip to Turkey as well. And we do have a lot of more surprise awards for the runner-ups too.
How long have you been taking the winners of these contests? From the beginning or has it?
Oh, this is new.
This is new. Yeah.
This is new.
Okay. Well, that's a nice plum. How long has the contest been in place?
We started 2 years ago. That's going to be the third one.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had the writing contest last year for high school students only, and this year we thought that would be also good to involve the college students as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually wanted to
separate categories, or they're competing against each other?
We actually wanted to have the writing contest for the university students this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a good idea. Next year we could have separate writing contests for high school students and university students.
And just to refresh the memory of our listeners, what's the theme this year? What's the topic?
The importance of self-criticism and reflection for an individual to actually improve the cross-cultural understanding.
And the website, one more time?
www.iffillinois.org.
Very good. Well, let's go back to local concerns and issues. I don't know how involved you are in the local Muslim community. I assume that you are. How would you characterize the morale, the spirit in the community? Have things improved since 2001? Do you feel, is there a higher level of comfort? The Obama administration is now in office for about 6 months, and many people sense a change. What is your general assessment?
Oh, I mean, since you are speaking of Obama's administration and so on, I mean, first I should say that I'm not really good with politics, but I can give my impressions, personal impressions, not within the local community, but as on like from an international perspective.
That's right.
Of Muslim people, let's say. So the Obama's trip to Muslim countries and his speech addressing to the Muslim people during the month of Ramadan has been quite welcomed by many Muslim people. And he was addressing very important issues, and he was saying that, I mean, there's still hope in this, as he usually says, but he was also saying that that's not an easy problem to resolve, I mean, to get rid of stereotypes, and people should get together to work on the common problems. And he was also referring to achievements done by Muslim American communities in the United States to help some disaster victims and so on. So he was also giving examples of how Muslims contributed to the society in the United States. So that was important. I mean, that was not a kind of speech that you would expect from an American president in 2001. And also, I mean, right now there's a debate in the United States whether Obama should have gotten this Nobel Peace Prize or not, but I mean, international, worldwide, seem to be more happier about this rather than the American people. So They approved that that was a good act from this Nobel Prize committee.
Last call for any questions or comments. If you'd like to talk to our guest about the Intercultural Friendship Foundation's work here in the community, you can call in at 333-9455. You can also call 1-800-222-9455. Do you feel that we've turned a corner in international relations between Muslim and American countries and culture? How does this community, the University of Illinois, is such an international community and so many people are moving about the world. Just wondering if you have some perspective. Have things gotten better or worse in Muslim-American relations? Do you have any perspective to offer on that? And how does this impact upon IFF's work? Obviously, you're making a contribution to this in your own way locally. Do you have any comment to make about the improvement in American-Muslim relations, or is it something that's out of your ken?
Like, as we talked in the beginning of the program about the foundation of IFF and how it was founded, it was founded as a reaction to the September 11 events. And I would say, well, though being very, very unfortunate event, people tried to get the better knowledge about how Muslim people are and how Islam is actually what Islam is as a religion. I would say people wanted to know more about Muslim people and more about Islam after that unfortunate event. And I would say people like us tried their best to actually represent Islam and Muslim people, and they actually got the other people know them better. So I would say I'm quite optimistic about the future of America.
That was my question. Are you feeling more optimistic?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're definitely more optimistic.
We have a caller on line one. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. Question or comment?
Yeah, hi. I have a comment. I just wanted to let you know that I was one of the people that was fortunate enough to go on the trip this summer to Turkey. And I just want to reiterate what people have said, that it was just an amazing experience. The Turkish people were just incredibly generous and hospitable, and the food was great. So, I just wanted to add my two cents and let you guys know what I think a wonderful job that you're doing.
Well, thank you for your comment. Zechariah, Tanner, wish to respond to that?
We're quite happy that our, participants are happy to be, the participant of one of those cultural trips.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other programs do you all offer, and how do you see the future for the Intercultural Friendship Foundation? Are you hoping for bigger and better things? Are you happy with where it's at? Where are you going in terms of your planning for the future?
We actually gone with the events that we actually talked about, and as Tanner said, we organize seminars and panel discussions as well. We have these inter-religious dialogue series where we invite the speakers from different religious backgrounds, and we do have themes and topics, and we would like to hear different voices coming from different religious traditions. And in addition to that, we do have a dinner called Abrahamic Traditions Dinner, and we believe as Muslims that the Judaism and Christianity and Islam, they all come from the same root, and we actually try to stress the commonalities among those three religions by means of Abrahamic Traditions Dinner. So we will continue with that as well. We have interfaith student dinners where we reach out some of the other student organizations on campus, and we try to have students from all kinds of cultural and religious backgrounds, and we actually promote cross-cultural understanding and interreligious understanding as well. We do have artwork and writing contests as well. We had Whirling Dervishes of Rumi in the past, and we're thinking of having one of those events in the future as well.
You sponsored that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened twice, actually. So these were the years of 2003 and 2004 in Falun Gong Auditorium.
Right.
So we sponsored this event.
That was a wonderful event.
Yeah, it was. I mean, actually, we were happy that there was a huge interest from the public and from the university students.
Not everybody knows who the Whirling Dervishes are. Who are they?
The people in Whirling Dervishes. Mm-hmm. So they're a group from Konya. We call them as Semazens. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, actually these people come to United States almost every year. So they're on a tour, different parts of the United States. So whenever that you guarantee that there will be a big audience for them, they are willing to come and make it. I don't want to say show, but they would like to perform their rituals.
Mm-hmm. Which have a religious content, right?
Yes.
It has a religious origin, but these rituals are mostly they are spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you won't have these. You won't have mainstream Muslims performing those things, whatever they are doing.
More mystical in its focus, right?
Yeah, it's mystical and spiritual. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, I would like to mention more about IFF's future involvements. And one thing that we really would like to do, and we are really considering, is to act more with other groups in the Champagne Urbana community. So we have been a university registered university organization within the campus. We tried to gather people and talk to them, but we discussed about religious and cultural issues. But right now, we would like to contribute more to the society. So we are looking for, and we are waiting for people to contribute with us so that we act with other religious groups or interfaith groups or any other kind of maybe social workers, social groups, so that we help current problems in Champaign urban community. Maybe it may be related to the poverty or some, it can be anything, any real problem in Champaign urban community. We would like to get involved with other groups to address these issues.
And clarify that a little bit more.
I mean, for instance, it may be related to...
Are you interested in social justice issues, social activism, improving the lot of the poor? What is it?
Even much smaller things. I mean, like, there's a group, Interfaith in Action, and they're doing a great job in Champaign-Urbana. So they have their interfaith, they gather interfaith groups to act on even smaller issues. So they visit hospitals, they do public service. So we would like to do this kind of work more, but along the whole year. So, I mean, if people come and they say that, okay, would you like to help us or would you like to do this thing with us to solve a real problem, social problem in Champaign-Urbana community, so we would like to be more than happy to initiate a project on that.
Have you done any work with the local high schools or middle schools?
So what we have done, I mean, within the high school's context, we have been to Uni High and
University High School on campus,
and we have present. We talked to the students about the Islam and Muslims. So we gave them our perspective of how interfaith dialogue can be carried out, but. That was what we did. So we are looking for...
So if someone is listening and they want to call in to give you some ideas, how would they go about doing that? What is the mechanism that they can get involved in with
this
you?
Is email. I mean, we have our email address, and it can be also found on the webpage. So summarizing, the email is iff@illinois.edu. So we are really looking for people to reach us, and we are looking for collaborations with other groups.
Okay. Well, that's certainly an open invitation, broad and wide. Mr. President, what are you going to do to improve things with Intercultural Friendship Foundation this year? You got some goals and objectives real quickly?
Well, I'll try to do my humble part, you know, to be involved in the organization of the events that we mentioned, and maybe in the long run we could try to open up a dialogue center or a bigger intercultural friendship foundation that will involve maybe registered student organization on campus as well.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking to Zachariah Oshavik, president of the Intercultural Friendship Foundation, and Tanner Ozell, a member of that organization. Next week, we'll be talking with Dr. Amy Penny about the spirituality of teaching. And the week following, Reverend Jennifer Little, she'll be talking with us about Pauline Christianity. Thank you for joining us. Good evening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
You've heard us talking about the member match. Well, on Wednesday, October 14th at 7 a.m., we're going to put that money to work. It's our Power Hour. In just 60 minutes, we hope to raise a day's worth of pledges. We can only do it with your help, so please mail a check today or give online at willpledge.org. More power now means fewer hours of pledge drive.
Words like America and globalization often conjure up images of protest and conflict around the world. It's us versus them. Either you're for us or against us. But things aren't always so black and white. And Jim Fleming, next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, soap opera in China, hip-hop in Africa, and California wine in France. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening at 7.
WILL programs are made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center with fitness and wellness facilities, including Cardinal Fitness and, now open, Amara Yoga.
This is WILL AM.